amino acid supplement.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, I have to apologize to everybody in advance. I've gotten some emails. I know that the Superhuman Radio website is having some issues. We're actually moving to our own dedicated RAID server with four hard drives, so bandwidth and access will not be a problem any longer. I know that people are getting frustrated. They're trying to download shows, and it's taking a lot longer than they want it to. I apologize. It should all come to an end this week. We should have been migrated over to the new server. And come the weekend, you will not have any issues reaching Superhuman Radio. The audience has exploded. I moved to a virtual private server where we went from 1,400 websites on a server to 8. And I have eaten up so much bandwidth that they've kicked me off the VPS and said, you got to move to your own server. And when they evaluated our traffic, thanks to all of you listeners, they said that we need four hard drives so that we can cover just the traffic that we're getting right now. So thank you very much. It's a good problem to have. Okay. You know, one of the most sophisticated features of our body is a phenomenon called proprioception. Proprioception is basically your brain keeps track of everything that's going on in every area of your body, where joints and muscles are. And there may be a connection to this type of mobility and aging, and my guest today is Dr. Frank Wildman. He is the founder of the Feldenkrais Institute and also the author of a new book called Change Your Age, which focuses on some of these edicts. How you doing, Dr. Wildman?
Well, I'm doing fine. I've changed my age.
Oh, there you go. You changed your age in just a couple minutes, too.
How are you doing?
Good. Very, very good. So let's
happy to be here.
Let's get to this just for a second. Explain to my listeners what the Feldenkrais method is, first of all.
Feldenkrais is named after a person named Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais, and he developed a method that he's from Israel, and he developed this method over several decades, and it's a way of learning how to move in new ways that are ways that we've all done. Like, for example, when you were a child, an infant and a child, you moved in all kinds of extreme ways. You did all kinds of original, novel movements.
Yeah.
New for you then.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting. Kids will watch me playing in a playground or just fooling around in the street, and parents and other adults are delighted to watch. There's something delightful about watching the way in which they play and the way in which they move and the zany things they think of doing and the number of miracles that happen that they don't get injured more.
Right.
And what they're doing is exploring, and they're deepening their sensations of themselves. They're deepening their proprioception, and they're learning how to move better, learning how to be able to take those skills from childhood and apply them later on to whatever they want, music, dance, sports, whatever. And so what Feldenkrais did was he tried to develop a method whereby you could teach people to do that and do that as adults.
So in other words, kind of like priming the pump, by going through these motions, you actually end up opening up pathways that either have never been opened or haven't been opened in a long time.
Well, that's right. And what we know now that we didn't know long ago, probably the biggest scientific brain discovery of all time, is that when you learn to move in new ways, when you do new things, when you play new games, when you learn a new language, whatever, as you're an adult, and even an older adult, you regenerate new neurons in your brain.
Right.
Brain cells simply grow. Long after we used to have a model that, that you had so many brain cells in your head, and then it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, it was finite. Yeah, that's it. Right.
Yeah, they were finite. And so now we know that that's not true, that you can make new connections between your brain cells, kind of like meeting a lot of new friends and shaking hands and, hey, yo, great, there's a bigger world for me.
Right.
And you can also regenerate neurons and grow from scratch, so to speak, new neurons, and therefore learning and learning new things is making internal changes that will keep your brain healthier, happier, and free to do even more new things.
You know, we know that neuronal sprouting and the recollateralization of areas of the brain after injury is a reality. We see people who have severe brain injury, spine injuries, and we see nerves actually reaching around broken areas to recollateralize and try to perform the functions that they set out. It's almost like an artificial intelligence, but it is an intelligence. These neurons have an intelligence. And so we know that it happens when someone is injured and they're recovering. So why not that be the foundation for opening up new pathways and creating new neuronal activity in the brain, even though it's not injured? It makes perfect sense. One of the things I love about this technology.
It is a technology.
Yes.
I appreciate you saying
yes.
that because it's a movement technology.
Yes. And I'll tell you something. When we talk about movement and joints, we use the word articulation. The same way we do when we talk about language. We also know that people with vast vocabularies who have the ability to express themselves better, who can articulate better, tend to have greater levels of intelligence. Well, the same is true of mobility and motion. If you start to lose some of those motions, maybe it's something simple like the way your ankle flexes or the way your hip moves in a certain way. You know, we've learned about one of the muscle groups that loses its memory is the glutes, because we're not being chased by dinosaurs any longer. We do a lot of sitting and standing and walking, but we don't do much sprinting and running. So when you start to lose the connection between the brain and those muscles, you start to lose articulation. It's almost like losing kinesthetic vocabulary.
You're losing your kinesthetic awareness, and you're losing the grammar,
right,
of kinesthesia,
right. And so we know, when you think of proprioception, you know, we think about all the vast things our body does. Oh, we're so amazed by how this works. Proprioception is something that is constantly happening at a million points in the body. The body knows where the foot is, the ankle, the shin, the knee, the back, the elbow. Constantly, it's constantly talking back and forth, sampling. And you talk about a sophisticated network of communication. There's nothing more sophisticated than proprioception.
Well, actually, the thing that most people don't understand is that they'd be dead without proprioception. You could lose your vision.
Dr. Wildman, are you still there? I think we've lost Dr. Wildman. Hold on a second. We're going to try getting him back on the line. You know what? We'll go ahead and go into an early break now. And as soon as we get him on the phone, we'll be right back. So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We will return. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development. A company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All-American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a halidrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know, finding that special someone is even harder when you're a devoted fitness enthusiast. Well, now it's been made easier. You can go to superhumanradio.com and click the fitness singles banner, create a free profile, and start searching for that special workout partner today at fitnesssingles.com. My guest today, Dr. Frank Wildman. We're talking about the Feldenkrais method and also his new book, Change Your Age. And as we were talking about the loss of connection between the brain and muscles. And guess what? We lost the connection between Dr. Wildman. That was an illustration, folks. We did that on purpose, actually. We wanted to show you how frustrated your glutes become when your brain can't talk to them any longer. So anyway, but yes, this whole...
Well, that example that you give is a good one, and I help people with this all the time. In groups or in my private practice, and that is, people say, well, because I'm older, my legs are getting weaker and I can't do certain things as well anymore. Like, for example, I use my arms to help myself get up out of the chair. I kind of push down on the armchair, I push down on the table, and that replaces the weakness in my legs. Also, I can't climb up the stairs very well, so I try to avoid climbing upstairs, or it hurts my knees to go downstairs, whatever. And so I mention those movements because you use your glutes a lot,
right,
when you get up out of a chair. And so what you could do is teach people how to use them in small increments, and they learn exercises that don't place high demands on the glutes, but they wake up the brain and the brain-body connection to the glutes in such a way that the person doesn't feel that they're exercising or that they're stressing themselves in any way, but they are calling more of the brain body unit, the motor unit it's called, into action. And then what happens is they start to find, oh, it's easier to go up the stairs.
Right.
And then they can do more difficult, more complex exercises and get stronger yet. And change one of the most visible signs of aging, which is that basically your rear end starts to drop.
Right.
And it's
actually starts to atrophy. The muscles get smaller. If you look at elderly people, even if they had nice, proud, robust buttocks when they were young, they start to flatten out and disappear. And I'll tell you something else.
And the major – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the other thing is the number of people who develop sciatic nerve disorder, when you look at these individuals, they also lose the function of their gluteus muscles early on. And I have a suspicion where the sciatic nerve passes through the piriformis, I have a suspicion that as – blood flow and atrophy occurs, it chokes off that nerve, because a lot of people develop that later on in life without directly injuring it. It's secondary to something else.
Right.
I suspect that it's gluteus issues.
I think your suspicion is, I can give you confirmation from working with people with this condition for over 30 years that is true. And it's also, unfortunately, people suffer from it so much and it's unnecessary. All you have to do is learn how to move in new ways.
Right.
And that's what the value of the Change Your Age program is to learn how to move in new ways, like you once did.
So,
new for an adult, old for a child.
So let's talk about the Change Your Age program and how it employs the Feldenkrais method. What do people, when they come to you, and quite often, first of all, when they come to you, what are their complaints, first of all?
Well, look, as long as we're talking about things like glutes and whatever, a man came to me yesterday as a client, and he had some serious concerns because he was having pain as he went from sitting to standing, and if he sat down for very long, he'd have pain, and it was a sciatic pain, so that was clear. I asked him, well, when was the last time he jumped? And he said, well, I'm not sure, I don't remember.
Right.
And I said, well, just imagine jumping. What's it like if you just imagine taking a big jump? And he said, well, it makes me kind of nervous. And I said, okay, so what we did was we worked on the beginning stages of jumping, which is to just go down and up, down and up.
Right, not leave the ground,
Yeah, don't leave the ground, just go down and up, and then imagine that you had a string on the floor in front of your feet and give a small jump, really as small as you could, over that string, and then jump back again over that string. So it's a very tiny jump, but your body by that time is used to the muscular support that you would use by going down and up.
Right.
And he found that his knee, which was also bothering him, stopped hurting him, and he sat down on the table. There was nothing to it. And he stood back up again, and I pointed out when he stood up that he did not push his hands on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought that was kind of strange. He didn't know why he didn't do that. But his muscles already had made a quick adjustment to make the connection and know that these muscle groups can be engaged now, and you can use them for this activity. Now, what's going to happen is, as he starts to use his glutes more, because he can, they'll get larger, they'll get stronger, they'll get fuller. And so he will, I don't want to be crude, but what he jokingly said he hoped would happen is he'll regain his ass.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
Yes, you can.
I mean, I actually... Well, first of all, it's important to understand that the one of the most threatening things that can happen to an elderly person is their loss of mobility, their inability to be ambulatory. They end up being institutionalized quite often, still well enough and cognitively functional, but because they can't get up and down or they've fallen once or twice, and all of that can be avoided. Through exercise and what we're talking about right now. I'm a big proponent of squatting. I mean, I squat in the gym. I do very, very, I mean, I'm stronger today at 52. I just turned 52 last week. I'm stronger today at 52 than I was in my 20s. And I was just thinking about this morning after I did my workout and I was doing my cardio, and I was thinking, you know, if I could continue to get stronger until I'm 70 or 80 years old, I don't see mobility ever being a problem for me.
Well, mobility might be, or flexibility. You don't know.
Now, that's another thing I want to talk about, flexibility.
Mm.
When we talk about flexibility, a lot of times people talk about, you know, the ability to stretch and so on and so forth, but that's really not what flexibility is it?
No. Some people injure themselves stretching. It's quite commonly now, because yoga is so popular. Yoga is a very popular thing. So there's a lot of stretching by force involved. A lot of young athletes, you know, they do bounce stretching and things like this to warm up. So they end up seeing me.
Right.
Because what happens is if you stretch your muscles too much, if you thought of your muscles like rubber bands, then if you held those rubber bands apart for a long time, or you continuously pulled back and forth on them, they would lose their elasticity.
Right.
And your ligaments are like that too. So once you lose the elasticity in the muscles and in the ligaments, you weaken the joint. The joint has less and less protection. So I always tell people, don't warm up. At one time, baseball pitchers never warmed up. What they did was they threw the ball lightly back and forth with the catcher, and then they got a little faster with the ball, and then they did a few fancier moves until they were warmed up, which means they were tuned up. Baseball pitchers are trying to tune their brain up to get the ball in the glove, and just at the right place, and at a fixed speed. And as they're tuning up, all the muscles needed to be lengthened and shortened, that happens. It's a natural result. It's a byproduct. And the idea of stretching your arm, for example, in different directions, pulling it behind your head and all of that is really because people don't know what else to do. And that's the kind of thing I try to teach people.
And it's also, it's intuitively, I have never been a stretcher. I've never thought of stretching as being an important criteria for my workouts, and I've never really stretched. I've watched people stretch, and I especially watch people who stretch cold, and I see those same people with injuries periodically throughout the year as I see them in the gym. And I've always suspected that stretching can actually lead to injuries. I know there was a study, I want to say, out of Rutgers University about 2 years ago that showed that stretching before heavy resistance training actually weakened the muscles and impaired contractile force.
Mm-hmm. So for some people, one thing that is good to realize, Carl, is that squatting is a big stretch. Because squatting stretches the gluteal muscles, it stretches the lower back so much that some people can't squat. A lot of people can't squat after they reach a certain age in particular. So one of the things that we do is teach people how to squat and how to see movement as in relations to other movement. And that's too abstract, so let me give you an example.
Yes.
When you're squatting and you come all the way to standing, if you thought of that as a continuum, at some point up from squatting, you're actually in a sitting position.
Right.
You could stick a chair into you and you'd be just
in
right there.
In fact, we employ something called the box squat for that reason.
Yeah, and then beyond that, you'd be moving up to standing and beyond that up to jumping. So there's a continuum of movement from squatting to jumping. It's a continuum that's reversible. You could go from jumping, land in your jump, go down to sitting on a chair, push the chair out of the way, and go down into a squat. It's a continuum.
Right.
So when I work with people, I'm looking at where in the continuum do they excel and where are they weakest? And how can you make that continuum unbroken for them so they can do several major activities, all of which they all could do probably when they were very young or when they were in their 20s.
When people start to lose their gluteal strength, they tend to have a much harder time getting down into the bottom portion of the squat because, you know, especially like when you're trying to go in powerlifting, you try to get down to where your what is it? What is the largest bone? The femur? The large bone
The femur is the largest bone.
Yeah, you want that to be parallel to the ground at the bottom of the squat. Well, that last third of the movement, getting down into the hole, as we call it, the bottom of the squat, really requires glute strength, gluteal muscle strength in that bottom. That's where the glutes are really called on. And quite often, so if you had someone who was doing this, you were observing this continuum, and you saw that they couldn't go all the way down as low as you wanted them to, what would you do to emphasize reinforcing the lower portion of that movement?
Well, where I start is by looking at what's squatting for anyway? You know, why do we have the capacity to squat? And in the evolution of the body, how is it that squatting was so common? And in the world today, squatting is still one of the major sitting positions. I mean, billions of people squat.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be vulgar, but back in the Paleolithic and before, we squatted to do our business too, like dogs did. So, I mean, you know, we didn't have a commode to sit on. So
yes, but also squatting was a place from which you had many, many social conversations, interactions. You
right.
ate food.
As a matter of fact, if you look
you put it in one end and it came out the
right.
other.
As a matter of fact, if you look at native civilizations. In anywhere, the rainforest in Vietnam, anywhere, if you go into these native areas, you will see that it's common for people to literally just drop down into a squat position and sit like that for hours, communicating and eating and so on and so forth. That's right.
That's right. So making tools and doing
right.
various other tasks.
Right.
And that's important. So I'm telling you that those things are the things to be looked at about squatting. So if somebody can't squat, then you have to go, how low down can they bring their haunches? How low down on the haunches can they go and still do things like bend over and tie their shoes or hand things back and forth, play different movement games? And then can you lower that? Once they learn to do those things, let's say easy enough in a low chair, then you lower the stool and you see if they can do it there. Then I put them sitting on a roller, a big roller of styrofoam.
Right.
And ethyfoam. And they sit on that, which requires some balance, and they're closer with their buttocks to their heels. And then they play games there, like moving the roller back and forth. And then you take it away, and they have learned incrementally to perform activities using their trunk and their head and their neck and their shoulders and their arms, and they finally learned to squat. And learning to squat, to me, doesn't mean that you got in the position. It means you got in the position, and you can do something there.
Ah.
So can I give you a couple examples about stretching?
Please, we have about three minutes before we go into the break. Good.
Okay, so if you wanted to maybe this is make this more clear to the audience. If you wanted to stretch your hamstrings, you go ahead, stretch your hamstrings, but far more effective would be to rebuild the brain-body connections of bending over and tying your shoelaces five different ways. That'll keep your hamstrings long.
Right.
You see, because you're doing something while you're there, and your brain is involved with it, the level of the eye, the fingers, all. And another way that you could think of it is if you wanted to speak better, you wanted to be more powerful as a singer, whatever, you'd find little use in holding onto your tongue, pulling it out of your mouth and stretching it.
Right.
It won't help.
Right.
And if you put your tongue against a spoon and tried to push against it to develop tongue strength, that would not help you perform the skill of speaking, being more articulate, singing, whatever you might want to do, better.
That makes perfect sense. That really does. We're going to go into a break. Let's go ahead and take the break early. When we come back, I want to ask some questions about some of the results that you've seen from people who are undergoing the Feldenkrais method and are following the edicts that are in your new book, Change Your Age. We're talking today with Dr. Frank Wildman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Ich bin nur ein Junge von der Straße, Straße, Straße. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to GEAR. GEAR is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. GEAR is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. GEAR causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get GEAR today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. GEAR. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get your today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Party people, yeah. Tag team music.
Primordial Performance is having their annual summer sale. Everything is up to 40% off. They've got their, we talked about D-aspartic acid raising testosterone levels on a previous show. Well, Primordial Performance has their D-aspartic acid product, which is called Testosterone Conversion Factor 1. And you can get it for $20 a bottle right now. Outrageous. Go check out primordialperformance.com and check out their annual summer sale. Everything is up to 40% off. My guest today is Dr. Frank Wildman. We're talking about Feldenkrais method and also his book, Change Your Age, which is based on this technology. And let's talk about this whole concept of by following these edicts and procedures, this technology, that it actually can reverse aging in a sense.
It's a matter of regaining skills.
Yes.
And by regaining skills that you don't know you lost. For example, standing upright in one position is a skill. If you have a child that's just learned to stand up, stand absolutely still. You see what happens, right?
I mean, you know, I never thought about that. You're right.
It's over.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought about it that way, but that's true because the children learn these skills as, you know, from infancy on up.
Right. So sitting is also a skill. Some people, in fact, because they don't have the skill of sitting they suffer all kinds of problems, repetitive strain injuries, just sore backs, head, neck, and shoulder strain, all kinds of things. These are things that can be learned away, you see, rather than exercised away.
Right.
They can be learned away. That means that you can learn to change your posture. You can learn the way that you learn to sit, lie, stand, move around in very basic ways differently. And you have to do that not by exercising on the surface, like, oh, I've got to learn to place my arms differently when I'm typing, you know, when I'm using the keyboard. I've got to learn to brush my teeth differently when I'm doing that so my shoulder doesn't get tight or something. It's changing without will, learning without will, learning in the way that you did as a child, when your brain just learned new skills softly, easily, gradually, and through a certain orientation towards pleasure. And once that happens, you just drop bad habits because you have something to replace them with. If you
right.
have another way of doing something and it feels better, your brain's going to go that way.
Do you find that this phenomenon, this loss of proprioception and connectivity with our bodies is a relatively new phenomenon? Degeneration, is generational? Did generations before us not have this because manual labor was still an accepted function every day?
I think that people had it in a different way. In the early years of the study of movement, since I'm somewhat, that's what I do, right? I study movement and teach movement. And so in the early years, the study of movement, which took place around the turn of the century and into the 1920s, everything was designed to study how people could learn to move like a machine. How can you make somebody be on an assembly line? I don't know if you remember Charlie Chaplin getting caught in the gears in one of his films.
Right. I do remember that.
And, you know, where he had really demonstrated this very well. And that's what people were supposed to move like machines.
Right.
Soldiers in training were supposed to move in fixed positions and do it well, repeatedly, in certain ways. Those attitudes have carried on into what people call today exercise, where you go to the gym and you add more and more weight on. You do things with less and less variation. And so you get stronger muscle cells, but you might find within the same muscle an atrophied cell that never gets called into place.
Mm.
And the idea, well, let's recruit that cell by just working harder. But actually, you can recruit muscle cells by simply using all parts of your brain connected to an activity.
Hmm.
That's why, again, you know, somebody could have a difficult time sewing. They just don't sew well. They give it to their wife or whatever.
Right.
take it out. You know, have this. I can't sew. That's too much of a problem. This button just doesn't work anymore. I'd cut my thumb on the end of the pin. I've had it.
Right.
So you can say, okay, here's what you need to do. You need stronger hands. So squeeze a ball 100 times a day. Recruit more muscles there. Squeeze it harder, harder, harder. Now, put your hand against the other hand or the edge of a table so your fingers are open, and then stretch those muscles of that go up your wrist and across your hand. You will not be able to sew those buttons any better or stitch a seam any better. It won't help you. What we try to do, what I've spent my life doing, is developing another skill, which is dexterity. And on dexterity is you have the human brain being used to its capacity for improving actions. A lot of animals are born more dexterous than us. I mean, I don't care what I do. I cannot get on top of my refrigerator and down like my cat.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And they didn't have to learn it much.
Right.
Right? They were born with that. We are not born with much.
Yeah.
We have to learn almost everything. So as we have to learn almost everything, that process of how we go about learning it when we're young, that's very important. And most children are given the freedom to explore movement and just explore. If a kid falls down walking somewhere, most of the time their parents aren't going to go, "Oh, you know, Jimmy, what a stupid thing you just did."
Right.
Oh, there are families that do things that are terrible that way. But usually you let the kid make mistakes and realize that it learns by making mistakes.
Right.
And through failure comes success. And so then you have an adult who's failed to use themselves that much. Like you were saying earlier, I mean, in modern life, people can just drive their car. That's a skill, you know, but they drive the car, they do limited amounts of even walking, or they go for long walks. So that's the one skill they try to retain. If they go for walks without knowing why, when they buy a new pair of shoes, they have to buy it because one side has worn off faster than the other. They don't have the proprioceptive skills to understand that or what to do about it.
Hmm.
So even if they're walking every day, they aren't necessarily skillfully walking. You know, when the postman walks down the street to deliver the mail, women don't throw open their windows and doors and go, "Oh, Bella, Bella, beautiful."
Yeah, you because, walk so good. Yeah,
because he walks so gracefully.
Right,
you know.
Right, right.
So achieving dexterity, gracefulness in your movements, a playfulness in movements, is something that we can learn by relearning as adults. And that's what the Change Your Age program is about.
Uh-huh.
And so when
neuromuscular re-education, right?
Yeah, yeah. I try to avoid that, not only for historical reasons, because neuromuscular re-education is kind of a term that's been used for decades in rehabilitation,
right,
by physical therapists and the medical world for a very long time, to cover anything that involved rehabilitation and therefore some form of education. But this goes way beyond that. We're talking about having a person learn how could they organize their back and shoulders and the strain in their neck differently so that they can play the cello much better, that it sounds better, that they're more comfortable, and that they can withstand the workload of a good cellist, which is, you know, 7-8 hours a day of playing the cello and flying here and there and performing, and it's just, you know, it's way too much. But that they're able to tolerate the stress of that better.
I've always suspected that when we talk about rehabilitation or even neuromuscular reeducation, when someone loses that connection with the muscle group, whether it's because of an injury or just lack of use, I've always believed that it's not adequate to make the goal to just get to reestablish that range of functionality. I've always believed that you must go beyond that and take it to a range of functionality that perhaps you didn't even possess. And the reason I say that is because I suspect that the powers that are pushing you not to rehabilitate or not to reeducate are always in effect. And in order to overcome those and have a net change, you have to push back harder with what you're trying to achieve. Am I making myself clear, or am I rambling in the wrong direction?
No, I understand what you mean. I would put it differently. I like to restrict people's – I have to prescribe movement sometime. So what I like to do to make sure that I have compliance, you know, that the person will comply with the program I put them on, for example, a back program. I design programs. That's what I do. I design the University of California's back program. I've designed gerontology programs for the American Physical Therapy Association. I just design programs.
Right.
And I design four-year-long training programs, career training programs for Feldenkrais practitioners. So I'm a program designer and educational director. So when I say designing a program for somebody, it can be a very substantial thing. So somebody comes with a back injury, and they hear that I'm going to put them on a program if I'm going to see them. So I'll work with them for a little while. I'll put them on a program, and they're kind of scared of the program at first. It sounds like a lot of work, you know. There's a lot of work.
It's amazing. It's amazing how most people really don't want to invest any effort at all, is it?
No, no. So what I do is I go, okay, I want you to do this one movement that we did. And not the second movement. Well, I give a couple of movements during the session. And I said, so I want only one of them, and I want it to be this one. You can explore the second movement. You can play with it, but I don't want you to make it any form of work. You know, just if you're interested in it, go ahead. But this week, I only want you to do one movement, and I want you to do it for no more than 5 minutes at a time, and no more than three times a day. You can't do it more than three times a day. You might hurt yourself. And only for 5 minutes. Otherwise, it could be too long. And the second one I leave up to you to explore. We might get to it next week, but we might do something different. I have 100% compliance rate.
Why do you think that is?
Because they're being told not to do things.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
They're being told to limit themselves. And, you know, people go, well, 5 minutes, all right. And then they feel a sense of accomplishment. I actually did my program. I did what Dr. Wildman told me to do, and I completed it, and I felt better.
Right.
Great.
You know, there was a study that we talked about on the show a couple months ago, or maybe I blogged about it. I don't know. Sometimes the topics bleed together for me. I mean, I'm constantly researching stuff. And they were talking about that some people are just genetically predisposed to enjoy exercise. And while that was the statement, it wasn't really the whole statement. Some people feel things to a greater degree. These same people who enjoy exercise tend to have addictive personalities and easily wrapped up in drugs. And the reason I'm saying this is because...
No, that's true.
Yeah, I suspect, like for me, some people would look at me and say I'm a zealot about exercise because I must exercise every single day. But what people don't understand is that it's not just the intrinsic value of exercise that makes me do it. It's the fact that I feel horrible throughout the day on the days I don't exercise. The changes, the chemical, neural, endocrine changes in my body that occur from exercise is something that I thrive on. And I'm one of those people that I enjoy exercise probably the same way, you know, a drug addict enjoys their drug du jour. Because it makes me feel so good. There are other people, as soon as you start talking to them about exercise, especially in rehabilitation, my mother-in-law is struggling right now. She has COPD and congestive heart failure, and she had a mild heart attack, and she just rails against the, you know, oh, they want me to do this. And I say, you know, Mom, you have to do this stuff. It, you know, oh, I just don't want to. It just amazes me. There's really very little middle ground. There are either people who just thrive on it, and they thrive on the challenge, and they thrive on the feeling of it, and there's people who just go, I am not going to do it. There's really very little middle ground. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll finish up talking What's that?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, when we come back. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll finish up talking with Dr. Frank Wildman. If you want to learn more, you can go to his website, changeyourage.net, and you can get a copy of the book, Change Your Age, which is based on the precepts and technology of the Feldenkrais method. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. From the game she was spitting in my ear, you would think that she knew me. I decided to cheer. Okay. Conversation got heavy. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Those of you who are still interested in getting a pulse electromagnetic field device, we talked about the Earth Pulse Unit a few weeks ago on the show. The coupon code SHR2010, SHR2010, is still in effect if you go to earthpulsetechnologies.com and use the coupon code SHR2010. You'll get $50 off the purchase of an Earth Pulse pulse electromagnetic field device. My guest today is Dr. Frank Wildman. His new book, Change Your Age, you can get a copy of it at changeyourage.net. Okay, so when we were going into the break, I was talking about the addictive sensations of exercise and how some people just don't respond to it, and you had a comment on that.
Yeah, I was thinking that rehab exercises are often very difficult for people to do and maintain because they're boring. They're inherently boring. And a lot of people who don't get that the kind of kick you get and don't have the huge release of chemicals and hormones and the 51 or more brain compounds that are released when you exercise, some people, it's not such a thrill. You know, the whole thing is boring and they just assume not. Well, what I try to do is get them to be interested in the inherent properties of movement, to get people to find that just moving around, not for exercise, not that it's strenuous or it's going to make their heart rate go up much, just what can you do to make your movements feel so good that you want to move in the way that a child wants to move? You know, kids just like to play around. It's just for the joy
of movement.
Yeah, right.
Kids roll around and they hang from things. And right.
But for the joy of movement itself, not for a goal, you know, not for anything that's narcissistic, not for anything that's goal-oriented to win a medal. It's just feels so damn good. So you can get that to be achieved in any adult. They have to learn the feeling. A lot of people with this kind of work that I'm doing is they'll tend to go, well, you know, should I push harder? Can't I push harder? I'm not getting anything out of this if I'm not pushing harder. And they don't understand that it's in slow, very quiet movements that are very, very precise that real gains are made. I worked recently with the Australian Sports Centre, the national training site for their athletes, and it took a while for them. Everybody was really, this is too slow, this is too basic. But actually, when you get a highly skilled athlete to move their legs and hips in new ways, just very, very precise ways, they'll start to shake and quiver as if they were getting heavy exercise.
Right.
And then what you're seeing is real brain recruitment.
I was just going to say that when you're shaking, those are new neurons twitching, new muscle fibers that don't get used. They're kind of like just sitting in the background. And so that's when you're twitching like
but
that, you're doing great things.
But the point I'm trying to make is that it's different than the shaking happening because you've exerted yourself enough,
right.
fatigued the muscles enough that your brain is sort of looking for another relay to recruit.
Right. Right.
You know, that's different than doing it without stress, without any effort. And people, it's remarkable to see very skilled athletes, particularly the Australian swim team, start to shake and quiver
yeah.
from simple, slow, precise movements focused on dexterity and coordination. I mean, you could take any athlete and make them a little stronger, they might be a little better. But it's coordination that counts. It's your brain that calls the shots in your actions. And so I would say Change Your Age is a coordination program.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And that's where the dexterity comes
from. I remember reading something a few years ago that if you wanted to see how well your brain was aging, try standing on one foot with your eyes closed. And the longer you can do that, the more functional your brain is. Have you ever heard of that, or would you agree with that?
Well, yeah. I do.
But why with your eyes closed? Because then you're really depending completely on proprioception, and you're not using any of your other senses to kind of sense
yourself. Yeah. Some people, however, can learn to do that very quickly. You know, it's like at first they go, whoa, over I go. But actually, they can learn to do it fairly quickly.
But wouldn't learning take a longer time to learn? Yeah, but wouldn't learning that be a good thing if we're talking about kind of reeducating and doing things that we don't normally do, pushing ourselves into movements that we don't normally accomplish? Would that be a good thing for people to try to do?
I recommend, and in the book and elsewhere, I recommend that people learn movements with their eyes closed about half the time, that they go back and forth. So, for example, if you wanted to improve your balance, it's ideal to be able to walk with your eyes closed, walk backwards with your eyes closed, which is really scary for some people. But that doesn't mean to do it for a long time, you know, just for a few seconds, then open your eyes and close your eyes.
Sample,
Until you develop the confidence that your brain will use new muscles and improve your balance. And turning around with your eyes closed. Most people can stand on things forever and be trained to do that. You know, it's part of rehab programs. It's part of sports training and education. But actually, why people fall is when their tension is split. So they can do it in the gym. They can do it at home. They can balance very well. But they're walking around outside, and somebody calls their name. You know, all of a sudden, you hear from a distance a voice saying, Carl? Carl, is that you? And you turn your head to look in that direction and stop paying attention to your legs. And if you didn't have enough attention and proprioception to put all that together, that head turning, the action of the eye focusing, you could fall down. And most of the time when people fall down, they fall down because of reasons like that. They don't just fall down.
It's not dexterity. It's like they lose the connection with their legs for that moment.
It's like doing two things at once. And some, you know, people can learn things indoors. They take them outdoors, and they're stimulated by the outdoors.
I was just going to say that.
And they forget how to apply it.
Remember when I was a kid, that when you wanted to imply that someone was a real dense person, you would say, "Oh, you can't chew gum and walk at the same time." So and I remember when we were in school, if you could rub the top of your head and move in the opposite direction by rubbing your belly at the same time, you know, people had a hard time doing that one. But those are all examples of really exercising proprioception.
Yes. Yes. And there are lots of useful ways that we can do things like that that go into normal activities that we really use all the time, actions of sitting and training. For example, a lot of people never think they sit in a chair for years, and maybe all their life, and they don't think about the fact that they could easily spin around in their chair, on the seat of their chair, and bring their legs over the back of the chair, and just do a 360 in the chair. Things like that. And they could be taught how to do that, and taught how to make improve their posture by doing things like that.
But a child would do that.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I get a lot of my ideas of what lessons to develop for adults by lessons. We don't use exercises that much as a term. We think of these exercises as lessons. They're movement lessons,
right?
Because a person is really learning the movement. I get it from watching kids. It's like, look at that kid. What a nutty thing to do. That's great.
Yeah, right.
You know?
That's funny.
I wonder if I could get somebody 55 to 70 to do that.
I was just thinking, you know, you sit at a playground watching some kids making notes, and then next thing you know, you go in and torture your clients and say, now I want you to do this. It's like, where do you come up with this stuff? On the playground.
But where that gets us to is that the people who don't have the advantages that of high dopamine leakage and high levels of morphines in their body that lead to a world of delight when they exercise. They find it boring, but it can be made interesting. And the movement itself can be made interesting. And the challenge of feeling your body becoming more graceful and coordinated is absolutely delightful. Most people really like it. So that's the direction that this program goes in more. But athletes like it. People who are very athletic and people who exercise like it because they can't get that at the gym and they can't get that playing their sport.
There's a huge mobility movement inside the professional sports area. Lots of guys like Dr. Cobb and Eric Cressy and those guys are out there promoting mobility programs because they say that those little things like the mobility work that they do just with the ankle of an athlete change the athlete's ability to perform. And, you know, I think that a lot of us, people are listening to this right now. I know this. And they're going, oh, God, you know, look, I've got a 500-pound bench press. I can squat 800 pounds. You know, what is these little movements aren't going to do anything for me? And then, you know, you remember that it's those small connections that we lose that really make the big differences in our ability to perform certain functions.
Mm-hmm. And also, one of the things that you should know that we're doing, I think your guests would find this interesting, we're developing a large functional mobility index, and this is being developed right now. It's going to be put up on our website probably in the next 2 weeks, and it's a functional index. It doesn't ask you questions about how far can you do something, how high can you jump, how far can you reach, all these quantifiable things that people are often asked about. Excuse me.
Sure.
So what they're asked about instead are tasks that they no longer can do, or tasks that they never tried doing, or things, for example, would be, can you get up and out of your chair without using your hands and arms, you know, pushing off that way? Can you lower your hands to the floor and tie your shoes and untie your shoes without bending your knees? You see, that those are functional things to know that a person can do or not do. Are you able to walk backwards with your eyes closed? And do they grade themselves, you know, in 5 degrees, you know, sometimes, always, maybe, no, never, that kind of thing. And out of this, what they get back when they're done with the questions in this survey is they get back a score that gives them their real mobility age. So when you enter, I'm 53, I'm 63, whatever it is, and you answer the questions, you're being looked at very carefully as this score has been going into development now. It'll be at 6 months. And that will feed back to you your real mobility age.
And this will be on changeyourage.net?
Yes, yes.
When will this be up there?
We hope to get it finished in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. We're coming to the end of the show, Dr. Wildman. I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on and talking about this this information. This is really good stuff, and I hope that people will go to changeyourage.net, check out the book. And
you can get it at Amazon, too.
Okay, Amazon. Yeah, you get everything at Amazon. I mean, literally, you can get everything at Amazon now. But anyway, you go to Amazon.com, obviously, or changeyourage.net and get a copy of the book. Listen, thanks so much for coming on Superhuman Radio and talking about this, huh?
Thank you, Harold.
Okay. And we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. We're going to be talking about recipes, anabolic-style cooking. So tune in then.
Listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.